podcast from AusCert's 2009 conference is brought to you by Microsoft. For full risky business coverage of AusCert, point your browser to risky.biz.
Hello and welcome to Risky Business 2. I'm Patrick Gray. To subscribe to Risky Business 2, which is where we put all of our conference audio and special programs, please go to risky.biz/feeds and subscribe to Risky Business 2. We have a separate feed. Now, in this podcast, we're speaking with a regular guest who joins us on Risky Business every now and then. It's Kimberly Zenz. She works for iDefense and is based in Moscow and is a real expert on all things Russian cybercrime. We caught up with Kimberly at AusCert for this chat, and we just pretty much asked her what she's been focusing on out of both personal and professional interest. Enjoy.
Well, my personal interest is really getting into a lot of the political attacks. That's not of the greatest interest to my clients, but it's just something that I really think is interesting, particularly in the former Soviet Union, because from the botnet side, botnets are so ubiquitous and they're really quite inexpensive that you can use them for things that wouldn't even be considered, you know, a major political reason. Just if you don't like someone or like something, it's kind of easy to take down their site or launch some sort of an attack. So just personally, I think that's rather interesting.
Well, we've heard everyone, of course, has done the Estonia thing to death. What else has been going on in terms of politically motivated attacks? Because we don't tend to hear a great deal about it.
Well, the thing about Estonia and then after at Georgia is they were very big and they attracted a lot of attention. But that's the only thing that made them special was how large they were and how many people got involved. It's something that's been going on for a long time, just in a slightly less organized fashion. And it's gotten to the point, too, where it's not just angry volunteers. For example, Kyrgyzstan got quite a bit of news in January when it looks like the government, for the third time, hired a botnet to target their opposition and ended up effectively taking their country offline. Also, right now, the former son-in-law and now political opponent of the president of Kazakhstan is under attack for similar reasons. You know, it's a go-to tool.
And but is it extending beyond DDoS? Because DDoS has always been one of those things where perhaps your clients aren't interested in it because it's always been the sort of ugly sister of more exotic attacks, you know? No one's really interested in DDoS attacks because they're a blunt instrument. They're sort of easy to orchestrate. No one cares. I mean, is that why you think it's not getting that much interest?
I think that's why it's happening so often is because it's easy. You really don't need particularly large amount of resources or skills. Some of the more sophisticated attacks you see tend to be more like black PR. That'll be targeting companies, and that will be more like to make you worry that either the government's going to intervene, which in Russia is a risk if the government is involved in your company, Yukos being the greatest example, that can be really quite catastrophic. Or to make it look as if and some of the principals might be involved in illegal activity, and then those get more sophisticated, but those are hard to do.
Have you actually seen many specific examples of those sorts of campaigns that are more about altering the public's perception as opposed to just trying to knock, say, their media and banking sector offline?
You'll see those more internally, though. I mean, definitely not as common as DDoS attacks because they are harder and they are easier to trace back to somebody. But those tend to be more internally. That would be like a Russian company going after another Russian company. I saw it once in what looked like a reverse pump and dump, which was, you know, trying to drag the price down. But usually it's like, pretty clearly it's a competitor.
We saw an interesting presentation from the guys at Russia's largest ISP, which is rtcom.ru, and they were talking about the Russian DDoS scene. Now, one of the things they said in that talk, which I thought was interesting, is they say, you know, Russia is really regarded as sort of the center of the world in terms of DDoS attacks, but they believe that other countries will be facing a similar situation in the future. Do you agree?
Probably, yes. One of the problems with the DDoS attacks in Russia is there's very high levels of awareness. And some of that is the result of Estonia and then later Georgia. People were kind of like, oh, that's an option. And then internally, just go to any like Russian forum and you'll see them advertised just madly. And so people are aware of them. They know how to do it. Just now, like starting last summer, you started seeing these people advertising in English and foreign forums. You didn't see that before, and it's still pretty new. And so,
what is this advertising DDoS for hire services? Okay.
And so it's pretty new. So within Russia, it's considered a readily available tool. It's in the public consciousness. In other parts of the world, it's just not there. But I think that's actually more of a market forces issue than anything else.
So really, once we get a few guys who speak really good English offering these sorts of services, you think we'll actually start seeing
It's slowly happening.
Yeah.
It is happening. You see one or two here and there. And then you also see, you know, thanks to the reputation of Russian cybercrime, you'll see like dual language activity on the forums or people trying to get onto the Russian forums because they're trying to find the good services.
So do you think that is... Well, I mean, language is one aspect of it, but do you think another aspect of it might be cultural in that Russia does tend to have a more Wild West business culture? There is more involvement in the state in people's affairs. Things just seem a little bit different, culturally speaking, to here. Do you think that there is a cultural difference that would make DDoS attacks more popular over
there? Well, in terms of the anti-competitive DDoS, which is where you see things such as during the spring, a hardware store's website will go down because that's the home improvement season and one of the other hardware stores has paid to take that down. Yeah, that something is not going to happen in every country because where it's going on right now, the main issue is it effective? There's not much of a concern about getting caught. There's not much of a concern of even is it unethical? It's just will it work?
It's business.
Yes.
Yeah.
So in countries where there's either a different ethical restrictions or just people don't think it'll work. They're afraid they'll get caught. They think, you know, it'll backfire on them. Then it won't develop. But a lot of it, the problem in Russia is it's gotten so almost, I don't want to say ubiquitous, but so common that it can be used for anything. Like if you don't like the way the voting results are going on your favorite singing contest, you target the producer. You know, things like, and unfortunately...
Russian Idol, like, determined by botnets.
Well, there is a case actually involved in that where a botnet was voting for one of the singers and then he got kicked off mostly for that reason. And then the next day, the producer and anyone affiliated with him had their pages attacked because of it. Like, that kind of thing, I mean, I think that's just, I mean, they're idiots the world over that would probably really enjoy it.
Yeah. Now, look, we've just been speaking about what you've been paying close personal attention to. In terms of your role with iDefense and looking after what your clients are interested in, what have your clients shown most interest in over the last sort of 6+ months?
Well, financial fraud is always a major concern because we do have a lot of companies that are, or a lot of clients that are financials, and they do really worry about losing money. Coming out of Russia, that's still banking Trojans. Less targeted attacks. You see those coming out of China more than you do out of Russia. Although what is interesting now is Russia's seeing targeted attacks coming out of China, going after like Russian financials and Russian government. but it's still always about just losing money.
And have there been any major developments in the fraud scene over the last 6 months, or is it pretty much business as usual?
It's pretty much business as usual. It's actually kind of a bit almost like become like a little plateaued. Now you'll see changes in specific malcode or specific targets, but it's very similar. It's almost like an equilibrium has been reached, like kind of sort of sustainable loss rates from the financial side and sustainable income / you know, compared to risk ratios in the Russian side. And it's a little bit disappointing. I'm sort of in this horrible position because from one side, I want my clients to be safe. I want a secure environment. On the other hand, I want something interesting to happen and not horrible so I could watch it. And it's sort of balanced out.
What's the effect? I've got to ask too. Someone in your position would be you'd be in a good position to answer this. But EMV, chip and PIN, is big in Europe. Mm-hmm. Has it had much of an impact on fraud rates? Because my view is that you know, if we actually introduce EMV and make it a ubiquitous standard for credit card transactions, it introduces two-factor authentication, and it really makes the theft of someone's credit card number sort of moot. You know, it renders that information unexploitable.
Well, it is actually a big of issue, and you can see things actually. Australia's had problems with this because they'll take cards that, you know, do have this system from the UK that they cannot use in the UK, and they'll come and use them here for that reason, because here they don't have the system in place.
So what, they'll steal some Magstripe data from a UK customer and then bring it over to Australia and use it here?
And try to exploit it here, because there's a lot of connections between UK and Australia. It's sort of reasonable to expect British cards would be used here. And what they're doing is they're looking for other places to use these cards because it's a lot harder to do it in their home countries.
Do you have any specific intelligence to suggest that people are doing it in Australia?
Not that I think I could say on the radio. but yes, it definitely is happening in Australia.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, well, I wasn't asking for the specific details, but you are aware of specific instances where criminal organisations have been using that type of card data in Australia.
Yes.
Okay, so we've really noticed then that EMV is working and fraudsters are moving from areas that have rolled it out to different countries which are maybe a little behind?
Well, it's always about maximum return for minimum risk and cost. Mm. And so you'll see it in everything. You'll see it in something just like fishing. That's growing in the Middle East because user education isn't so strong there compared to, say, Australia or the US. So more people will fall for a phishing email.
Mm. Well, I think Australia and Brazil were the first two countries to get really hammered with phishing. I think we were even ahead of the US in terms of the amount of phishing fraud that went on here.
And like, if you compare that to a country like Saudi Arabia, where people are just starting to bank online, they get an email and they're like, oh, how convenient. I'm getting alerts this way now. You know, like they don't. You know, they're not updating. There's this thing. It's just the whole thing's a mess. And so that's what's going on, too, with credit cards or almost any other sector. The question then becomes, if it really became universally rolled out, what would they do next? Would they find a solution? Would they move on to something else? That remains to be seen.
Okay. Well, Kimberly Zenz, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.